Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. Good to be back and have our brethren with us and those who regularly worship here. I'm glad that you're present, and it's good to be able to spend some time on another occasion studying from God's Word this evening as we begin this week. The Bible never covers up the sins of individuals. It's always very open about that. We talked a little bit this morning about David and Bathsheba. From Adam and Eve all the way down through the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, if an individual engaged in some kind of wrongdoing, God revealed that, brought that out. And as I look in the Bible and I see the various things that individuals have done, you can find some pretty bad things that have been done. But when I look in the Old Testament in particular, there's one particular activity that seems to be most heinous of all, even including those various things that involve killing another individual. I see this activity as most gruesome and most heinous. Can you think of what that might be? What comes to your mind as particularly gruesome and heinous? What I speak of this evening is that of child sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we find, for some reason, the Israelites, following the nations around them and the Canaanites around them, would offer up their children in child sacrifice. And so this evening, I want to ask the question, even though we do not engage in that same literal act, are we sacrificing our children, and how much do we really love them? In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 21, long after this had begun as a practice in Israel, you slaughtered my children and sacrificed them to the idols. Child sacrifice was forbidden, of course, by God. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21. Out of all the sins that I read about in Scripture, I find this one to be one of the most disturbing and heinous of all. Where parents are cold and calloused to allow their children to pass through the fire to some completely made up, fictitious God. In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21, thou shalt not give any of thy seed to make them pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am Jehovah. This was not the only time that it was mentioned. It's also mentioned in chapter 20, verses 2 through 4. Deuteronomy 12, verse 31, and Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. It was very clear on more than one occasion to the Israelites here on Mount Sinai, and then a reminder later in the book of Deuteronomy to the new generation of Israelites, that this was wrong. You're going to get over into the land, and for some full-hearted reason, people are going to be passing their children through the fire. I'll just stop and think about that a minute. First of all, idolatry was completely fake and fictitious. It's a complete figment of someone's imagination. They do not exist. And then on top of that, not only are we going to worship that which literally does not exist, but I'm going to get the bright idea that I'm going to pass my children to them through the fire. Now, how could an adult get to the point of doing that? Stop and think about whoever the first Canaanite might be or wherever this got started. The first one, what is their thinking? What is their thinking? You know, I'm going to burn my children. What has to be going on in your mind to get to that point? Well, obviously you don't love them. Obviously you don't truly care for them. Obviously you have some sort of cold and callous attitude toward them that you can just do that. And you've got it in your mind that you're going to worship this entity that literally does not exist, and you are so devoted to that that you think that if I pass my children over to them, and some of them were probably altars that were built in such a way that they had their hands out to Molech. Molech had his hands out, and you could actually place a baby or a child up there with the fire going underneath. Now, who gets to that point where they come up with that? And yet, it happened. And for some reason, even after the warnings given by God, the Israelites look at this and they're going, you know, I think I'd like to try that. Who gets to that point? Talk about peer pressure. Somebody says, well, I'd never do that. As we're going to see in a minute, that was one of the very things that caused the northern kingdom of Israel to go into to Assyrian captivity. 2 Kings 17:17, passing the kids through the fire. It wasn't some one-time isolated case. It had become popular. In fact, one of the popular places was Topheth in the Valley of Hinnom, right down there on the southern edge of town. You could see it. You could watch it. Everybody in town knew that it was going on. It wasn't some random, isolated case way out there, nowhere. You could look down in there in the valley and see parents, here's my child, offer him up to Molech. The Israelites succumbed to this Canaanite pressure. And so it became a practice among many unfaithful Jews. Ahaz, son of Jotham, did it, 2 Kings 16:3. Manasseh did it, 2 Kings 21:6. Josiah reformed the practice. Turn with me to 2 Kings 23:10. Josiah reformed the practice and had enough fortitude to stand up against it and be a reformer and a restorer and get rid of this foolishness. And in 2 Kings 23, verse 10, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. You stop this, people. Stop this. We need to be like that today. The psalmist brings it up when he reviews the history of Israel and their rebellious nature against the Lord in Psalm 106, 37 and 38. The prophets cried out against it. Isaiah did in Isaiah 57, 5, Jeremiah 7, 31, 19, 5, 32, 35. Ezekiel cried out against it. Ezekiel 16, 21 and 36, chapter 20, verse 26, verse 31, chapter 23, verse 37. When we come down to the New Testament, it's not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, but historians tell us that it was practiced in New Testament times by the Greeks and the Romans. It was practiced in the period of the return from the Babylonian captivity. The Persians did this, historians tell us. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, without natural affection. And that's what happens when parents get so cold and calloused. You can engage in abortion, doing something like that, and you can also engage in child sacrifice with that sort of approach to your children, without natural affection. But I'm here to tell you today, brethren, that while this may not be going on in the actual literal and physical sense, I believe that there are many parents across this country that are sacrificing their children. And they're not on altars of wood or stone. They're not on altars to Molech. There's no literal fire going on. But they are altars of our culture and our society. And I want to talk about seven of them this evening. And I want us to learn this evening to avoid these things. Are we sacrificing our children? Not literally, but in these ways that we will talk about this evening. And some of the things that I'm going to talk about this evening, in and of themselves, the deceitful nature of this is such that in and of themselves, they're fine. But when we allow them to become wrong priorities, when we allow them to take over our lives to the point where our children are not being raised to serve God, we are sacrificing our children on these altars. Not one of us would do it literally. But could we be doing it in these other ways that we'll be talking about? And so I ask the question, how much do we really love our children? If we really love our children, we won't sacrifice them on these idols. We don't need to become so enamored by the culture around us that we just offer them up, just like culture does. Well, culture does it and I'll do it. The Canaanites are burning their children. You know, I'll do that. We need to have enough love to be different. Let me ask you this evening, of course, none of us were there, obviously. But in your mind, do you hear those screams? I want you to hear those screams this evening. Do you hear those screams? Do you hear those screams? You put a child in some fire, somebody's going to be crying. Do you hear the cries? Do you hear the screams? Moms, dads, do you hear the cries? Do you hear the screams? You know that went on. You know a little child is not going to go into a fire without screaming and yelling and crying. Mom and dad, here's my child. Priestess or priest of Molech, here's my child. And then the scream immediately starts when they hit the fire and mom and dad are just standing there. Do you hear that? Do you hear them? Do you hear them screaming? Do you hear them crying out, mommy, daddy, however that would have sounded in Hebrew? Do you hear that? Some of them had gotten so cold and calloused. It was all about, I got to do what the Canaanites tell me to do. That they don't even hear the cries anymore. Let's talk this evening about how our culture is sacrificing on our children on these various altars. And let's learn this evening to stay away from that. And I appreciate our parents and our grandparents here who understand these things. And they agree that we cannot be doing this with our children. And it's a good reminder that as we read this evening, Psalm 127, you look at verse 3 again. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. They belong to Him too. Somebody says, well, they're my kids. I can do with them what I want. No, they belong to the Lord too. He gave them to you and I. Well, I brought them into this world and I gave birth to them and they're mine. Yeah, that's right. But they belong to the Lord too. And we need to be raising them the way He would want them to be raised. On the radio program this morning, I talked about fatherless America. That's one of many examples that I could give you this evening of children being sacrificed. 18.4 million children, 1 in 4 in this nation, 18.4 million children, 18 and under, are raised without a father. A natural father, a stepfather, or an adoptive father. 18.4 million. That's one of many ways in which we're sacrificing our children on these altars. The altar of selfishness. Well, I've got my life I need to live, and I've got my job, and I've got my hobbies, and I've got my affair, and I've got this, and I've got that, and it's about me, and I don't care about my kids. I've got my friends that I gotta hang with. I can bring a child into the world, but I got my group I got to hang with. I don't have time to raise kids. And we're seeing the problems. We're seeing the fruit. So let's look this evening. Many are sacrificing their children on the altar of work. Many parents today want their children to work so much. And like I said earlier, remember what I said earlier? Many of these things that we're talking about this evening in and of themselves are fine. But what's happening is parents are putting a wrong priority on some things and not on growing up to be a Christian. And so some of these things that in and of themselves are fine, and I'm going to try to point out the value of that as we go through, it gets out of whack and we end up sacrificing them. And some will sacrifice their children on the altar of work. I want them to learn the value of a dollar. Well, that's good. I do too. I want my kids to work. I want them to get out, get a job, get to work. I want them to learn the value of a dollar, but not at the expense of worshiping the Lord. Remember that expression, money doesn't grow on trees, right? And we want them to learn that money doesn't grow on trees. That's good. But so many will sacrifice their children on the altar of work that they miss services. Or they pick a job that, because of the schooling and the work environment, they miss services so much that in the case of one of my own family members, they never went back to serving the Lord properly the rest of their life. And we see that today. Missing services, not reading their Bible, not praying, not giving properly. We should work. The Bible in both testaments encourages work. Ephesians 4:28 and 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. In fact, there are many in this country that are promoting laziness, and we should never promote laziness. We shouldn't be like the sluggard, Proverbs 6 and verse 6. We need to get out and get a job and work. In fact, Paul rebukes that in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and following. Those that are lazy and they won't work. They're just busybodies. But parents, let us never sacrifice our children on the altar of work, and they are so busy doing that that they don't put the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33. Yes, Jesus says, you need food, shelter, and clothing. The Lord will provide all of that for you, but you got to put the kingdom first. And yes, a part of putting the kingdom first is attendance. Some are sacrificing their children on the altar of work. Along the same lines, I believe that many parents today around the world are all sacrificing their children on the altar of time. Many parents are too busy to raise their children. Speaking of work, well, I've got to work. So they sacrifice them on the altar of time. And so there's no time to pray together and no time to read and study the Bible together and no time to come and worship God together. No time to raise them up in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22 verse 6. I'm busy because I got a bunch of bills I've got to pay off and credit cards and things like that. So I got to work overtime and I'm busy. And what little time I have left, boy, I've got hobbies, you see. I got to be out on the lake and I got to be out on the golf course. Again, in and of themselves, not a problem. But we allow those things to get out of hand and we end up no time, Ephesians 6:4, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't have time to have a conversation with my children. I don't have time to listen to their problems. I don't have time to give them some advice on how they can best go out on a date and those kinds of things. And so, parents find it easier then to neglect rather than correct. To be silent rather than to teach. And often what parents will do, we see this in our culture, because we've sacrificed them on the altar of our personal selfish time, then the way we make up for it is what? We're going to buy them a bunch of stuff. We're going to buy them a bunch of stuff. I have material in my office, in my files on youth, where youth, and I'm not even talking about youth in the Lord's church, just youth in general, where they have been surveyed and where they have been asked, what do you want from your parents? Do you want money? Do you want keys to a car? Do you, all these material things? Do you want a brand new iPhone? And they'll say every time, I want my parents. I just want my parents. That's what they say. That's from their mouth, not mine. I want them to be with me, to talk with me, to spend time with me. And it's a reminder to us. When we read passages like Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeem the time for the days are evil, or buy up the opportunity, let's apply that to us as parents to realize that we have this one life that we talked about this morning. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17. We know that. Let's apply that to parenting. Our life is like a vapor. We're here one day and we're gone the next. And while work is important, I just mentioned that. The Bible encourages that. Keep it in its proper place, so that I can make sure that I have that quality time with my children and I make it count. I mentioned this morning on the radio program that I've seen this a number of times, and I included myself. I have to be careful myself that I don't do this, so I'm applying it to myself, parents. But I've seen it many times where a parent will take a child to go do something fun, like going over here to the forum, the city forum, where you play the games and stuff. And I've seen it to where they're going to go with their children and do something fun with them, spend quality time with them. The child is playing the game or whatever, and what's the parent doing? They're standing there on their phone. And the child's right down there playing. Okay, are you having fun? Okay. We can't even spend playtime with our kids because the phone has become our babysitter. Even us as adults. And I have to learn that just as much as anybody. We would never put our kids in a fire. We wouldn't do that. But maybe we would do some of these other things, and I'm just trying to get us mindful of that. Let's love our children where we would never sacrifice them on these altars. Some are sacrificing their children on the altar of popularity. Many parents today want their children to be in the in crowd or in the right crowd. I want them to have friends, and so often they will sacrifice their children on the altar of popularity. I will let them dress in a way. Yeah, it's a little immodest, but hey, the other kids their age are dressing that way. Or my daughter wants to be a cheerleader, or my son wants to play sports, and that will, of course, you know, you got all those practices and stuff, and he won't be here at services, but hey, he's able to be with a group of friends. I think it's great to have friends. But what happens on this altar of popularity is it's these groups that we want our kids to be in, and it's almost as if sometimes parents are trying to live their lives through their children, which is another topic. But it's those groups often and the things that go along with that that take my child away from the Lord. In Exodus 23:2, the context there is more of judgment, judging, don't follow a multitude to do evil. So a righteous judge who's not swayed by popularity, but we can apply that to what we're talking about this evening. The same with 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Proverbs 1:10, if sinners entice thee, consent not, say no. Stay away from the groups. I know that in churches that this has been an issue in the past, and it's uncomfortable to bring it up, but there have been situations where churches have split and brethren have divided because parents wanted their child to be a cheerleader, and then they started wearing things that were obviously immoral, and the comment that is made is, well, I just want my daughter to be happy. I just want my daughter to be able to fit in with a group where she's accepted and this and that, and maybe you know of a case like that. It's real. It happens. And really what's going on there is, rather than parents asking the question, what is best for my child with regard to their morality and their ethics, it's more along the lines, I just want my child to be happy, so let them go be with such and such group. And often it's that group that takes them away. We want our children to have friends, but we want them to have the right kind of friends. Let's never sacrifice them on the altar of popularity. Some parents are sacrificing their children on the altar of materialism. Many parents today want their children to have, quote, what we never had. You remember that statement? And I feel for that. I just want my kids to have what I never had. You ever heard that? And in a sense, I understand that and I get that. But what happens then is, well, I want my kids to have what I never had. Then we go overboard and we lavish them with material things maybe that they didn't work for or that they don't appreciate or they don't take care of. Or then it becomes just sort of an out of balance. It's all about the material things. And then what happens then is we're putting so much emphasis on things and money, and we're rarely at home, and they're rarely at home, and both parents working, and I'm not opposed to that. But when it gets out of hand to pay for all of the material things, often their spiritual needs are being neglected. And in Luke 12:21, this parable of the rich farmer, it was all about things and barns and bigger barns, and there's nothing wrong with good business practices, but his soul was not right with God. He had neglected that. I want my children to have better things than what I had. I went to college in a piece of junk car. It literally had rust all over it. In fact, my brother, it had been passed down from Dad to two other brothers before it got to me, and my brother Steve had spray painted the big rust spots with Rust-Oleum. It was a baby blue car with gold Rust-Oleum spray paint spots. It looked like it had the measles. I didn't have enough sense to go along and spray the gold spots with baby blue spots. That would have been a little bit better. I went to college in a car that was falling apart. So yes, when my kids go to school, I want them to have something better than what I have. In general, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is we let that get out of whack, and there's more emphasis on the material than on the spiritual. Yes, we want our children's needs to be made, but not at the expense of their spiritual health. We're not going to put a priority on material, physical things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, this love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And Paul says that some reaching after have been led astray with many sorrows. And it's because we've sacrificed our children on the altar of materialism. There are a lot of people in this country that are sacrificing their children on the altar of education. And let me hasten to say that I'm for a good education. And brethren, and we have some of them here who have been educators in life, and I appreciate that. I have learned at the feet of good educators. So what I'm talking about this evening is not that. What I'm talking about this evening is that parents want their children to be so smart and so educated that they will sacrifice their children on the altar of secular education, secular philosophy, such as humanism and atheism and situation ethics and evolution, to the point where they begin to forsake the assembly and they're doing their homework instead of Bible study, etc., etc. When Sherry and I were in a congregation in the late 1980s in another state, we had a large number of teenagers in that congregation. There were some, you just asked them, well, where are your kids? Well, they're at home doing homework. Oh, okay. We want them to get good grades. They're at home doing homework. And the whole time we were there, some of them never did become Christians. But boy, they got their homework done. Some of them did not become Christians when they should have. By that age, late teenage, we're talking 16, 17, 18, sitting there not a Christian. They need to be. Boy, they're making good grades at school. Hey, I'm all for good grades. I want that. But not at the expense of a person's soul. And then when they get on up college age, we want them to go to the best colleges and schools and get a good education. But we should not want that at the expense of the education of their own soul. And I like to talk with our young people here about their schooling, and I like to talk with them about their grades. How are you doing at school? But sometimes you'll have a young person doing great at school, but they still haven't become a Christian. Not long after we moved here, there was a young person here, and you know who this person is. There was a young person here who became a Christian. And I talked with this person later, and the person's parents were talking with me later, and I said, well, what did it for you? And they said, one time you preached on the fact that even though you're doing great at school, and you're still going to be lost, what does it matter? This person was doing great at school, but they were lost. And that got them to thinking about, you know, I need to do something different other than make good grades at school. Shortly after that lesson, in fact, it was within a few days, that person was baptized. We need to make sure, Paul talks about 1 Timothy 6:20, knowledge falsely so-called. The King James has science falsely so-called. So you get, you're kind of thinking just specifically about the area of science and scientists and a person in a white lab coat. It's knowledge, but falsely so-called. And much of what's being propagated in school today, and especially in institutions of higher learning, is false. And so let's talk with our children about that and make sure that they're not taken in with that. In Luke 2:51-52, when Jesus now, was being raised by his parents, he grew in stature and in favor with men, but he also grew in favor with God. In Philippians 3:5, Paul had a great secular Jewish education, but he left it behind, look at it, for the knowledge of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:15, young Timothy had a mother and a grandmother, verse 5 of chapter 1, and then chapter 3 and verse 15, he knew the scriptures from a babe. That's why being here at Bible class, and that's why having Bible study at home will ground our children. That's the first and foremost education that they need. And if and when they get to another place in the secular education that shakes that, they will have a firm grounding because their education primarily has been in the Word of God. Let's not sacrifice our children on the altar of education. Let's not sacrifice our children, as some parents are doing in this nation, on the altar of pleasure. Many parents want their children to have a good time. I do. But they will sacrifice their children on the altar of pleasure and entertainment to the point that it affects their personal lives. Some of these recent school shootings, from their own mouth, not people reporting on it, but from their own mouth, they are saying, I've been filling my life with violent video games. They're saying that. The young man in Boston a few weeks ago, he said that very thing. He said, during the pandemic, I stayed home all year long, didn't go to school, and I played violent video games every day. Well, okay. It's probably going to come out somewhere. That's an extreme, I understand. But other things. Things that affect our children's language and dress and dating. Get out there and date. Yes, but make sure you're pure when you do it. Recreation, fine. Get out and do it, but make sure it's pure when you do it. We want to enjoy life. But it still has to be governed by the Word of God. It's not either or. It's not follow God's Word and have a boring time, or don't follow God's Word and have a great time. It's actually both. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 with regard to our young people. Seek out wholesome activities, wholesome movies and music and recreation and dating and activities. Yes, we want our children to be happy, but they also must walk the right way as they're doing that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. See, be happy. That's actually one of our problems. Many youth today are unhappy. Be happy. Let your heart cheer thee, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine own eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Verse 9, be happy. But verse 10, make sure you're putting away evil. You can't engage in wrongdoing while you're happy. Let's not sacrifice our children on the altar of pleasure. And then one last altar that I want to talk about this evening. Many in this nation are sacrificing their children on the altar of permissiveness. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Parents are bringing children into the world and then they're just letting them cut loose and take charge. And run the show from there on out. And it's becoming, and has been, even in the days of Solomon, book of Proverbs, and others who wrote them in his day, long before the New Testament, it was a problem then. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. In other words, I'm just going to let them do whatever they want. Many parents want their children to be, quote, free to express themselves. Kids will be kids. Boys will be boys. The terrible twos. Listen, I'm not discounting the fact that certain children can act certain ways at certain times in their life. I'm not poking fun of those statements by saying, well, I don't believe that that actually exists. I believe that those things actually exist. The problem is we're using those expressions as excuses to allow it to go on. If a child is terrible at two, fine, okay. But do something about it. But what the reason we say those things is to excuse the behavior. And then we find it being excused after kids get on up into the teenage years, and then we find behavior being excused when people get to adults. We just excuse, excuse, excuse. Many parents will not discipline their children. no firm guidelines or rules, no corporal punishment. Spanking has been exchanged for timeouts. And what happens is that the parents are allowing themselves to become manipulated. The child, and it starts early, is actually the one in the driver's seat. And so the parents really are kind of afraid of the child. It's all talk and no action. We're sacrificing our children on the altar of permissiveness. When your child is misbehaving, and they're trying to get you to do something, and you do it, and they immediately straighten up, they're playing you. They're playing you. And they know what they're doing, and you're falling for it, and I'm falling for it. That happens all the time. So, it's a difficult topic, I know. It's a sensitive topic, I know. I've been there. But when we bring our children into the world, there's times when we need to be firm with them. And I'm not just talking about, no. I'm talking about we actually mean it. And when it is not followed, we back it up. Look at the first part of the verse. The rod and reproof give wisdom. When we don't follow God's plan, there's going to be a problem. But a child left unto himself causeth shame to his mother. I had a jail Bible study in Springfield for 6 years, and when I would talk with the women that were incarcerated in that jail, a guard was with me every time. They said over and over and over again, number one, I was raised in a family without a dad or a mother, some sort of a broken home, and number two, they always said, I wish mom and dad would have been more firm with me. Mom and dad were permissive. And so here I am. And since it was the women's part of the jail, it was the same thing every time. Drug possession, assault, prostitution, things like that. They said it, not me. They said, Mr. Reeves, I wish I would have had both a mom and a dad, and number two, I wish they would have had some rules and laws serious and discipline and correction. They let me do whatever I wanted. And when I hit the teenage years, boy, I hit the streets. Because I get to do whatever I want. And now I get to spend my days in the Robertson County Jail. We know about Eli, who would not restrain his sons, 1 Samuel 3:13. We know about David and Adonijah in 1 Kings 1:6, who never said to him, why have you done so? We know about that. And yet, today many will sacrifice their children on the altar of permissiveness. Let me encourage you as parents to make sure that you are raising your children with that guideline and that rule, and yes, even that corporal punishment from time to time. The scripture says it will give wisdom. It will make them to be what they need to be. Well, I don't know of anybody today that's going to go up to Molech and say, here's my child, burn him. But there are plenty of other altars of society that are being used today. And children, unfortunately, are the bad recipients of those things. Let's not be, Romans 1:31, let's not be without natural affection. Let's love our children enough to correct these different areas. And as we've seen in some areas this evening, it's not all or nothing. In fact, it's engaging. We need to have education, and there's nothing wrong with having some pleasure, and there's nothing wrong with having work and some material things, but make sure we have the right priorities as we go through those things. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? Let's make sure that the souls of our children are saved and not lost. As they have a good time, as they get a job, as they have material things, as they get an education, let's make sure that their soul is saved. Let's not sacrifice our children to the altars of this world. They clearly don't care. They clearly don't care. When you see 18.4 million children without fathers, clearly somebody doesn't care. But I know you do, and we do. And because of God and His Word and the wisdom in that Word that we want to follow, we're going to be better than that. We believe Psalm 127 verse 3. We know and believe that our children, yes, they belong to us, but they are God's heritage and His reward. And we're going to live in such a way, and it's going to take some work. It's hard to stay away from the pressures of society. I still don't understand how those Israelites, hey, want to come down here to the Valley of Hinnom and burn your children? I can't fathom that, but that pressure was so great that some people went along with it, including kings. I know the pressure is great on these kinds of things that we talk about. Sherry and I have been there. The pressure is great. But we can also say, no, we're not going to sacrifice our children on these things. We know better. We want to go to heaven. We want them to go with us. And so we're going to take a different course. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. If you'll open up in your psalm books to the song of invitation. Carlin, what is that again? 280. We will not be using the PowerPoint this evening. If you'll get your psalm books out, 280. I've decided to follow Jesus. If you have not made that decision this evening, let me encourage you to do that. You may have some great things going in your life right now. You're smart, making good grades, and all of that's great. But if you're not a Christian, you're not ready to meet the Lord in the judgment day. And I would encourage you to make that change. If you need to come back to the Lord in some way, please do that. But as parents, let's go out. We're not going to follow the ways of the world. Put our children up on those altars of things that we talked about tonight. We're just not going to do it. It's not worth it. Our children belong to the Lord. We're going to treat them better. But if we can help you in some way in making your life right, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?